Coming back to Parsha Pekudah. So here we are. Here we are at the end of the 39th parak of Sefer Shmos. Over the course of Vayakel, Moshe Rabbeinu brings in the donations very, very rapidly. And over the course of Vayakel, you begin to see the work being done. The work is being done over the course of Vayakel. They're building the Klei HaMishkan, they're building the Mishkan itself. And then over the course of Pekudei, there's an accounting done for where all the silver went, and then we begin to see, sort of parallel to Tetzaveh, the making of the big day kuhuna. And then, towards the end of Paraglamites, everything begins to come together. Over the course of Ayakta Pekud, it's all been pieces and parts. They made the Aron, they made the Shulchan, they made the Mizbeach, making this and making that, making different components, and making different big day kuhuna. And then towards the end of Lama says, now that all the components are put together separately, possibly my base, a tenel kavos mishkan ha'ol ha'moed, they had done all the work of the parts, and now they begin to bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu. They bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu, the structure, and the kelim, and the lechem hapanim, and the shulchan, and so on and so forth. Es ha-menorah ha-torah ves neiroseha. They bring to Moshe Rabbeinu the menorah. The menorah and its neros. Neros ha-ma'aracha. The lamps that were set up. The eskol keleha, the eshemen ha-ma'ar, and they bring this, and they bring that, and finally, the very last pasuk in Paraklamites, Bayar Moshe eskol ha-malacha. He sees all of the malacha. The hinei asu osa, kashativa Hashem kein asu. They had done the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. Bayivar Moshe Moshe. Moshe gave him the bracha. So, what strikes you about that pasuk? He sees all the malacha, they've done it properly, gave them a bracha. What strikes you about the end of the pasuk? We might want to know. A bracha did he give him? And this, we've touched on the past, Rashi in Bava Basra, the Gemara in Bava Basra, in the first paragraph, speaks about who wrote which part of the Tanakh. And the Gemara mentions that Tehillim was written by a variety of authors. Bava Delamach was, so to speak, the primary author, as well as the editor, as it were, or the compiler, but there are many, the Psukim tell us, many Priprakim of Tehillim start with an attribution to Asaf, to Eson HaEzrachi, to Moshe, Tefillin Moshe, Yishol Kim. That's one parak. Rashi says in Bava Basra, actually 11 Prakim written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Yinom Hashem Elokeinu Oleinu. Rashi tells us here that was the bracha that he gave. That the sweetness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should inhere in what you built all these parts, it should come together into a whole. It should talk to work. Not much we have to put all the parts together and make a whole Mishkan. And the point of Mishkan isn't just to be a structure, the point of Mishkan is that there should be, it's to be a vehicle for Asheras HaShrina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should talk to move in. And that is the final scene of Parshas Pekudah, the final scene of Chumash Shavuos, that the Mishkan actually worked. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashra Shinasa. What's interesting about the beginning of the pasuk? Kein Osu B'nei Yisrael. Here we are in the Rambam. He quotes part of that pasuk. Kein Osu B'nei Yisrael is Kol HaAvodah, is Kol HaMelacha. The Torah describes everything that Klai Yisrael did as malacha in the closing part of the parak, but earlier the Torah describes it as avoda. This is that they did all of the avoda properly. Kol malachas hamishkan yikru en avoda. What do I mean the avoda? I mean all the work that they did. So why is it called malacha, and why is it called avoda? What do you say? Well, you say, why is it called malacha?
Physical work.
Good. And why else would you think that the Torah would take pains to describe all the work? Now we're at the very end. Kozov have put all the components and create each of the components. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to put them, assemble them together into a whole Mishkan. And looking back, retrospective, the Torah says, all the malacha the Jewish people did. Why do you think it's described as malacha? Ramat Malacha. This is going back to the beginning of Vayakel. The Torah says, don't do malacha on Shabbos, and you're going to make a mishkan. And the Gemara says, Shabbos Memtes. Here's the solution to the enigma. What is this malacha the Torah keeps speaking of? It's very important not to do malacha on Shabbos or Chayav Nisi or Chayav Peri. You better know what malacha is so you can avoid it. But what is it? So the Gemara says, well, that's why Shabbos and Mishkan are shoulder to shoulder. Tell you that which is in the Mishkan, in making the Mishkan, that is malacha. That's being echoed here when the Torah refers to it as all of the malacha. As an aside, the Avnei Nezer, the first Sefach of the Rebbe, the son-in-law of the Kutzker. Let me tell you the story of the Kutzker and the Sefach. The Avnei Nezer was a very brilliant Talmud Chacham. You don't have to be very brilliant to become a great Talmud Chacham. Some great Talmud Chachamim were brilliant from birth, and some were of average intelligence, and they worked very hard. Either way, you got to work very hard to become a great Talmud Chacham. But some great Talmud Chachamim were of unusual intelligence, even as children. Avnezer was one of them. And Avnezer ultimately married the daughter of the Kutzker Rebbe, but apparently he was initially dating Chassidish Rebbe Shaul with the daughter of a different Chassidish Rebbe, who gave him a fahar. I want to see how he did in the ring. Young Avremel did pass with flying colors. And then he comes back a couple months later to meet the girl again, to meet the father again. And the father again gives him a fahar, which is unusual. But he, once again, passes with flying colors. And then he turns around and says, now I want to give you a fahar. Says to his father. So the rabbi says, you little upstart, like, who are you, a little pipsqueak? 14, 13, maybe 12-year-old boy, like, chatzim, and who do you think you are, and where did that idea even come from? So young Avremel said, who would ultimately be the Avnezer, he says, it's really very simple. Why is it the minig is that the girl's father gives a prospective son-in-law a fahar? Because Gemara says a person should be masi bito talmud chacham. So you want to know. All right, I want to marry my daughter. Talmud chacham, are you a talmud chacham? Let's talk and learn. I'll find out. So he said the truth is the same Gemara also says lo yisa adam bas talmud chacham. So the truth is it should always be a two-way fahar. I want to know that the girl I'm marrying is the daughter of talmud chacham. So why don't we always have a two-way fahar? It's simple. The answer is, you got married X number of years ago. You must have passed your fahar then. So we're relying on chazaka. Chazaka ne'karah. You passed your fahar, you were a talmud chacham 30 years ago, you're probably still a talmud chacham. So that's why normally the boy doesn't give the girl's father a fahar. But you don't want to rely on chazaka. You gave me a fahar a couple months ago. Give me another fahar. You don't want to rely on chazaka. I don't want to rely on chazaka either. To which the rabbi said, you're a very bright boy, and you're not for my daughter. There's the door. And ultimately, he married the Kutzker's daughter. Kutzker had loads of personality. Kutzker had no problem handling young Avramel, who would ultimately become the Sefach Shomer. Supposedly, some version of the story is that years later, when young Avramel grew up into a very refined and polished and incredibly competent Talmud Chacham, that other rabbi had charat and maybe should have swallowed his pride a little bit more. But be that as it may, there are many stories with the Sefach Shomer, but that's enough for now. The Sefach Shomer Rebbe, among others, Svarim, wrote the Sefer on Malacha Shabbos. The first Lamed Malachas called the Egrei Tal. Tal is Lamedes, Lamedes Malachas. And in the beginning, one of his opening comments, he points out that to the Yerushalmi and Bavli seem to dispute what is it that you're patterning Shabbos after. Is it just the construction of the Mishkan, or is it even the use, the ongoing function of the Mishkan? Because Yerushalmi talks about Melechas Ofeh is patterned after the baking of the Lachapon, the baking of the Karbonas Mincha. So that's the ongoing, the Gemara, the Bavli clearly avoids that. So the Avinezer suggests, the baking of the Chol is Bavli Yerushalmi, are we patterning after using the Mishkan, or only making the Mishkan? But Yaakov Pekud is only about making the Mishkan, and this Pasuk may lend more strength to that, because the Torah wraps up the making of the Mishkan by saying, they're done with all the malach. Okay, the term malach is pretty straightforward, l'chora, straight from halach to pesach. What's the term avodah? Why is making the Mishkan called avodah? If there's anything, thinking Avnei Nezer style, right, what do you usually refer to as avodah? The functioning of the mikdash, right? You expect the word avodah to be about vayikra tzav and shmini. Melacha is making the Mishkan, but then Avodah Sakrabanus is once you have a Mishkan, then you do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Then you do Avodah in the Mikdash. But the Torah here refers to the making of the Mishkan both as Melacha, which we get, but also as Avodah. What's that all about? So take a look at Ramban and what to say about that. This very brief paragraph. Yikra'ena Avodah. We're talking about the Melacha of Mishkan. Yikra'ena Avodah. Again, in the middle of the paragraph of Pasuk Aleph Tzayin, why is it called Avoda? Number one, Lomar ki asu osa l'avodas Hashem hanichba. Someone mentioned this, I think, whispered this before. And maybe the point is that they made this for the sake of Avodas Hashem. Ki inyin ba'avartim Hashem lokeichem, but also ta'avoda. Oh, so. This was, number one, it was for the purpose of Avodah. This is meant to enable Avodah HaKabbalah that would occur in the Mishkan once it's up and running. And maybe even means more. You look at the Pesukim that he's quoting, but he quotes Pesukim to talk about Avodah. They're not really talking about Kabbalah. This is someone did mention before. This may take us back to the discussion we had earlier in learning Brachas about the Abda B'chol Vavchem that Tfilah is Avodah Shevelech. So maybe what he's driving at is something we already explored last week in Ramban, that there was a lot of Kavana that was invested when they, not only that the Mishkan was for the purpose of enabling Avodah HaKavanos, but making the Mishkan itself was an Avodah. They weren't just hammering and sewing and embroidering. It wasn't just Me'asafah V'lachos, it wasn't just Chitzonius. There was a tremendous amount of Kavanas HaLev that was being invested. And then he says, maybe there's something else going on. Yitachen, and it could also be, Shiyomar Bechan, Kol Avoda Al HaKelim. Maybe the term Avoda that the Torah uses here is not about all of the construction project. Maybe it's specifically talking about the furniture, the menorah, and the shulchan. The lashon she'amar es kol kalei avodas ha-mishkan. Is kirtila ha-kelim. He first referenced that the kelim, le'mor ki afilu be-kelim nizaru va'asu kimetzuvu. Maybe, Ramban says, maybe avoda doesn't mean, wow, maybe avoda doesn't mean everything that they built, meaning maybe Avodah doesn't include the walls and the roof, the krushim and the adanim and the olal. No, that's only malacha. He says maybe Avodah means specifically making the kelim, making the shulchan, making the menorah, making the mizbeach. And he says, first the Torah said they did the Avodah properly. They did it even that, afilu bekelim, even with the kelim, even when they made the menorah, they made sure to do it the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded. Then it says afterwards they did all the malacha, meaning even the walls. So what strikes you about this? The Torah needs to tell me, the Ramban is saying, that they even made the kelim according to spec. They even followed Hashem's instructions and made the kelim. And then it tells the more obvious thing that when they built the walls, they followed God's instructions. And that's why first the Torah speaks about doing the avodah properly, the kelim, and then the Torah speaks about the malacha, meaning the whole project. Anything strike you as odd about that?
Why do you suspect
that the Jews would have taken more liberties with making the kelim? What? When I'm making the krushim, that's going to be exactly as commanded. When I'm making the shulchan, maybe I'll go rogue and do my own thing and put a little bit of titanium. I think a shulchan would look nicer if it was oval. You think they would have gone rogue with the kelim, but not with the walls? Lama. And the other question you might wonder about is, why is it, and this question may lie the answer, why is it that specifically the kelim are referred to as avoda? Why is the menorah called avoda, but the walls are not called avoda? Why? Usually Avodah means the mitzvahs are done, the mikdash. Bringing the karbanos, lining the menorah, burning the ketores, yeah? It has a function, right? The shulchan you use to
to hold the lacham abanim every Shabbos. He put the lacham abanim on and take it off. The mizbeach he used for all the karbanos. The menorah he used to light. Mizbeach for Torahs, he used for Torahs. The kiur you use to wash your hands and advance all the other avodas. The kalim, he seems like he's saying the kalim are called avoda more than the walls because the kalim were actually used for something. They were used for the avoda. The walls are the backdrop. The walls are the context. But you don't do anything with the walls. Once they're there, they just stay there. But you do things actively. You kohanim are interacting with the menorah. Kohanim are operating on the mizbeach. The kohanim are operating on the shulchan. The avodos in the mishkan are being done with the kalim. That's why the kalim are called avoda. It's called kalei avodas hamishkan. Ah, so he says we're more worried that people will go rogue when they're handling the kalim, when they're making the kalim. Why? So here's a little bit of a twist. Maybe Rambam l'shitasa. I think we might have discussed it a couple weeks ago. The Rambam writes that there was one of the opening lines of Parshas Truma is a mitzvah. There is a mitzvah that Rambam opens Sefer Avodah with, a mitzvah to make a mikdash. What's the pasuk? And the Rambam actually says, and that's the mitzvah, to make a mishkan, to make a mikdash. And in the entire rest of Truma, it's just more details. What does it mean to make a mikdash? You have to make a mishkan, you have to make the walls, you have to make the ceiling, and you have to furnish it. You have to make a menorah, you have to make a shulchan, you have to make this mizbeach and that mizbeach and the kir. It's all part of the mitzvah, the Rambam writes, of making the mikdash. The Rambam is very explicit about that. The mitzvah of making at the beginning of the days of the kir. The mitzvah of making a mikdash includes both the structure and the furniture. Both the walls and the ohel and the kalim. And the Ramban disagrees. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Seha 33, Lama Gimel, Ramban says, I don't think so. He says, to make the mitzvah means to make the structure, not to furnish it. He says, the mitzvah of Asli Mitzvah Shachan is to make walls and to make a ceiling. He says, so then why don't I count separately making a shulchan and making a mizbeach and making the other mizbeach and making a kiyor? Why don't I count them separately? Ramban says, you know why? Because there is no mitzvah to make the shulchan. Unlike the Rambam, who thinks that making a shulchan is in and of itself already a partial fulfillment of making a mikdash, Ramban says, no. The mitzvah of making a mikdash is making the structure, building the building, not furnishing it. I need to make a shulchan so that I can have the mitzvah lacham panim. I need to make a menorah so I can have the mitzvah hadlakas ha-menorah. I need to make a mizbech ha-ktoros so I can have the mitzvah ha-ktoros ha-ktoros. I need to have a kir so that the kohen can wash her hands and do all the other mitzvahs you're supposed to do. Making the kalim Ramban things was not in and of itself a mitzvah whatsoever. According to Rambam, it's a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah as he has mitzvah. According to Ramban, there is no mitzvah in making the kalim. The reason, instead, they're all hechsherei mitzvah. There is a mitzvah to make the building, and then you make the kalim, it's a hechsher to all the avodas. So number one, the way the Ramban is interpreting the language of avoda is very much l'shitaso, that I'm going to refer to the kalim as avoda because that's all they are. They're just a hechetimtsna, they're just a means to do the avoda. There is no inherent mitzvah in making a shulchan. I need it so that I can do the avoda b'lachma upon it. So number one, you understand well the way he interprets the language of the Chumash, and perhaps also that's why I could have made a mistake and thought, making the walls, making the ohel, that's actually a mitzvah of Asli Mikdash. So everything else is just preliminary, prerequisite. Does it really matter how I make the mizbeach? The point is we'll have a place to bring kamaz. Does it really matter how I make the menorah? The point is we'll have something upon which to light. So that maybe that's what Rabban is saying. That the Jews might have been more heter a little more, and thought, the actual mitzvah also mikdash, they of course have to follow the rules. When it comes to mere heksher mitzvah, does preparation really matter? As long as I get to the end result, I'll bring my carbon. What does it matter what the mizbeach looks like? I'll light the menorah. What does it matter what the menorah looks like? And that's why the Torah says, no, the Jews did not make the mistake. Ramban l'shitaso. The Jews did not make the mistake of thinking that preparation doesn't really matter. That the details don't really matter as long as you get to the end result. The Jews understood that even hechsherei mitzvah, even the preparatory steps, hachanos matter immensely. and investing yourself in the right type of prep will set yourself up for doing the mitzvah in the right way. And that's the added, the lesson, that they did Kasha Tziva Hashem as Moshe, even the things that where they could have finagled to convince themselves it didn't really matter, they actually acted fully the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to act. Not only with the Malacha, but even also with the Avodah.